All right, we want to get started this morning by welcoming everybody that's watching online today. Welcome to our morning Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. It's good to be able to share with you today. Good to see everyone that's here today. We're still in the book of 1 Peter, still in chapter 2. Are you with me, brother? Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the encouragement. I love you anyway. If you remember, Peter is writing to the Christians that are scattered throughout five different areas or provinces. They're undergoing severe persecution, so they're having a difficult time. And the first thing he did as he went through chapter 1 and where we have got to now is he was telling them about their responsibilities in Christ and about their obligations in Christ. And then he came to the point where he started to talk to them about their privileges in Christ in verse 4 of chapter 2. And actually today, we're in verse 9. Let me give you, make sure you got, I gave you 10 privileges that we have that we were covering through this portion of Scripture beginning in verse 4 in Christ. The first one is we have union with Christ as living stones. The next is we have access to Christ as the brotherhood of the believer, priesthood of the believer, access to Christ. Third, we have security in Christ in that we will never be put to shame, never be disappointed. Next, we have affection for Christ in that when we were saved, he became precious to us. He is someone that we automatically loved as he forgave our sins and became a child of God. And then we had dominion with Christ. He says we will not only in a priesthood and a holy nation, but a people belonging to God. And so a royal priesthood is the word that he used, which before he used holy priesthood, but now he says a royal priesthood, which signifies that we will serve in authority with Christ and have dominion with him throughout eternity. So, and then the seventh one was separation to Christ, where he says here, a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God. As a holy nation, the word holy means set apart. So we are now in what is called, in our life here as a believer, we're in a period of our life as a believer called sanctification. And sanctification, I think that's what we were talking about when we finished up last Sunday night. Sanctification, first of all, is being set apart at the point of justification and regeneration by God. You were set apart positionally in Christ, belonging to him. Set apart for his plan and his purposes. That is a one-time act of God that happened when you were born again, when you were saved. In Christ you were set apart in him unto Christ and unto the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now then, that is the beginning of a process called sanctification that we would call either progressive or practical sanctification. In other words, what is happening now in your life and what is happening now in my life is God is changing me to be who he saved me to be. God is changing me to make me who he saved me to be. In other words, positionally, I'm perfect in Christ. You were declared justified. You were declared sinless. You were declared forgiven. You were declared perfect in Christ. You were set apart positionally. As you know, and I know, we aren't perfect yet. We're still sinful. And so what is happening in our life through this process called progressive or practical sanctification is Christ is working in our life through the Word of God and the Spirit of God to make us like Himself. To make us like Himself. So what is happening is you are becoming who God meant for you to be. You are becoming what God meant for you to be. And this process goes on throughout your lifetime here. Throughout your lifetime here. And that's what we're talking about when we usually talk about sanctification. That's usually what people think of. I could give you many scriptures, but to be sanctified, you could use the same terminology as one that is saved. Sanctification and salvation is the same thing. Sanctification is just a part of that. And then, I mentioned it last Sunday night, I think, there is the ultimate or the end result of sanctification. When you see Him, you shall be like Him. Sanctification will be complete. Sanctification will be complete, and you will be like Him. And so right now we're in the process of practical sanctification. God is changing me through His Word, by His Spirit, making me who He saved me to be. And that is what's going on in my life, in your life right now, as we grow as a Christian, as we hear the Word of God. God is changing you to be the person He saved you to be. And that's what we call practical or progressive sanctification. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul says, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." To give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So he uses the word sanctified as you would usually use the word all those who are saved. And so we see that is an interchangeable terminology when we think about it and we think about what has happened in our lives. Okay, now then, he says, you are a people belonging to God. Now think about this. Before you were justified, before you were regenerated, you did not belong to God. You belonged to Satan, and you were in darkness, and you were in sin, and you were in ignorance, and we could say many other things, in a nature that was totally depraved. Yet God broke into your life through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, and He opened your eyes to your lost condition. We call it conviction. And He led you to Christ, His Son. And when you placed your faith in the finished work of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ on the cross for salvation, you were justified in His sight, regenerated by His Spirit, and adopted into His family and into His kingdom. All simultaneously at the time you were saved and regenerated. And so we think about this. And he goes on to say, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. And so before you were not a people belonging to God. And this is what we see when we look at the scriptures. A people belonging to God. what we see is God has taken possession of you. That when we say that you belong to God, we're saying you were purchased. The word this, when we see this, belonging to God, you were purchased out of slavery to sin. You were purchased out of the domain of darkness. You were purchased out of where you were by the blood of Jesus Christ, who paid the price and the penalty for your sins. And now you are God's own possession. Now He planned this from before the foundation of the earth. But He did not take possession. He did not purchase you until the time that you came to accept Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. At that time, before that, you were, and as Ephesians says, you were not a people. But now you are. This is what He says here. He says, a people belonging to God. A people belonging to God. Now look down at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So once, before I was saved, I did not belong to God. I had not been purchased out of slavery. And I did not, I was of the domain and the kingdom of darkness. Satan had sway over my life. But when Christ came into my heart, through faith in Him, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, declared righteous in God's sight, something happened in me. He purchased me out of sin, slavery, and darkness to be His own child according to His purpose and His plan and His will. So the word possessed here, we're not thinking about being possessed by Satan, we're talking about being possessed by God. As it means to be a possession of, in other words, you became a people belonging to God. This is what He's saying here. I became a person belonging to God. Before I was not, then I was. I was not a people, now I are a people. Not good grammar, but that's what I are. I are a people belonging to God. Amen. And so this is what He's talking about here when we look at this. In Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. The word means to possess, means to acquire, to purchase, to acquire for a price. And that word is in Ephesians 1:14, the redemption, it says the redemption of God's own possession. So the redemption of God's own possession. And that's what He's talking about there in the book of Ephesians. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the church which He has purchased with His own blood. The church which He has purchased with His own blood. Blood. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20 says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:14 says, He gave Himself in order that He might redeem, same word, purchase, He might redeem or purchase us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself, listen to this, a people for His own possession. A people for His own possession. What does all this mean? It means before God ever created the earth and everything in it, in God's purpose and God's plan, He chose you to be His purchased possession. And so through the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificing atonement for all our sins, you became a child of God, belonging to Almighty God Himself. And so this is what we see when we see when He says, you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Now then, the next thing that we see, which is a tremendous privilege, what greater privilege is it than to belong to the Lord? But next He says, you did not have mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. One of the greatest things that God does is He was merciful to us. He showed us compassion. He was merciful to us. And that's what we see in the Word of God as well. By the way, I give you other scriptures on what I was talking about before. John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. It's over and over again through Scripture we find the same thing out. We find the same thing out. Okay. But now you have Caesar. I want to go back to one other thing, too, because I kind of skipped over it. Go back and look at verse 9, the latter part of it. I'll begin in the first part. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you, what? Out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, when we see the word called anywhere in the Bible and it's talking about God, we're talking about the same thing as election. We're talking about the same thing as election. God called. The call of God. We're talking about God's plan, God's purpose, God's power, God's work. All about Him when we see the word called. And He says here that He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. The truth of the matter is, even if you were raised in church like I was raised in church. I went to Sunday school and church every Sunday because my mom and dad made me go. That's where we went. We went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. I was in church, but the church was not in me. Although I taught the Bible, it was just a book, and I was ignorant to the Word of God. Not that I did not know what it said, but I was ignorant to the Word of God in that the Word of God had no effect on me. So even though I was reading the Word of God, knew what it said, I was in darkness. He called me out of darkness into His wonderful light. So, illumination, if you will, is the last one that we look at here. Illumination is a privilege that God has given. Suddenly, in 1 millisecond, when I was saved, when I was born again, when I read the Word of God read me. When I read the Word of God, it became alive. When I read the Word of God, suddenly the Spirit of God in me was teaching me what God was having to say to me, and it became real. In other words, not only did God change my heart, He changed my mind that I might understand like I never had before the Word of God and who God was and how He worked in my life. So I was called out of the domain of darkness, which is where I was, in ignorance and darkness. Although I was in church, although I was reading the Word, I was in darkness. I was ignorant to the power and the Word of God. And suddenly when I was saved and born again, regenerated, and the Spirit of God came to live in me, the Word of God suddenly became illuminated to me in His wonderful light. And I understood truth that I never understood before in all my life. And that's what's going on in your life. And that's what happened to you. And you're still in the light, out of darkness, and you're still learning, you're still growing. He's still illuminating the truth of the Word of God in your life as He sanctifies you, as you grow as a Christian, as you become what He saved you to be. Amen? Thank you. So He called you out of that dark domain. In that dark domain, Satan was your ruler. Make no mistake about it. What does it mean to have your heart and your mind illuminated by salvation in Christ? It means before, not only did I not understand what my sin was, I couldn't do anything about it. Now, not only do I understand what my sin is, God in Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in me, has given me everything I need for life and godliness. So now I have power over sin in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And so the things that I would have done, I do no longer. Because God has illuminated my heart and my mind, taught me through His Word, grown me through His power, and by His grace, and now I'm in a place that I totally wasn't in before. Through my privilege, God has given me not only access to Him, not only has He done that, but He has illuminated my mind and my heart that I might understand what He's saying to me. I might grasp who God is, and I might recognize sin in my own life. If we have a misconception about sin and salvation, before you're saved, you're a sinner, unsaved, and you don't really care. So you don't really recognize how great your sin is. When you're saved and you're born again, you recognize sin in your life you never saw, recognized, or thought about before. You know what I mean? Are you with me? This is the work of God, and it is a privilege as a child of God. As He sanctifies us, He shows us our sin. I always had a saying. I said, when I sin, it's like a jaybird on a June bug. The Spirit of God jumps on me, shows me what I've done that's wrong, convicts me of my sin, and won't leave me alone till I repent of it. And that's what happens in my life, and that's what happens in your life, as we see here in the Word of God, because He called you out of darkness into light, because He has done this work in your life, you belong to Him, and Jesus belongs to you. Amen? All right. Now, anybody got a question? Because I'm finished with this, hopefully. Hopefully. The privileges that we have in Christ. That's what we've been studying about. Now then, because of those privileges, we come to what's next. And they're going to start in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. You've heard that before. We're just passing through. We don't belong here. This is not our home. We're aliens and strangers in the world. To abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. On the day He visits. So now Peter turns, and he turns to those Christians that is dispersed across the provinces, and he says, now because of all these privileges that you have in Christ, here's what you must do. Here's what you must do. Now, if I asked you, what is the greatest tool that you have for evangelism, what would you say it is? All of you were right, but Mike got it right. Yeah. The most powerful tool I have for evangelism, the most powerful tool I have for people to come to Christ is for people to see Christ in me. It doesn't matter what I say. If people don't see Christ in me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much I quote the Word of God. If people don't see Christ in me, it doesn't matter. Because more important than what you say is how you live. Is how you live. You've heard me use this illustration. If you've been around me very long, you've heard me use this illustration many times. But I am not Jack Russell. I am a child of God. I am the husband of Kay Russell. I am the father of Brent Russell. I am the grandfather of Summer Holt and Taylor Cruz. And I could go on and on with my great-grandchildren. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about for each of them and for the world out there, the most important thing that they need to see is Christ in me. I could say to the world 1,000 times, you need to be born again, you need to be saved, you need to come to church, you need to follow Christ, you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. But if they don't see Christ in me, all of that's for nothing. And Brother Roy Douglas used to say it every time we went on visitation. He would ask me two questions every time before we went out these doors on visitation. First thing he'd ask me is, are you prayed up? That's the first thing he'd ask me. Are you prayed up? What's the second thing he asked me? Are you walking your talk? Are you walking your talk? If I was prayed up and I was walking my talk, then we were ready to go. But if I wasn't prayed up and I wasn't walking my talk, there was no use in going. Because what people see in you is more important than what you will say. You must live Christ in you. You must live as if you belong to God. You must live as though you were separated, set apart unto God in a sinful, dying, darkened world. Because people, seeing that, will bring more people to Christ than all the things you say in the world. They want to see. You see, Satan has no argument for a changed life. Satan has no argument for a changed life. So this is what he's telling us here. I urge you, as aliens and strangers, people that are separate unto God, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. There will always be those that are critics of Christianity and say, I don't see anything good in that. I don't believe that. I can't accept that. But if they see how God has changed your life and they see Christ in you, they have no argument for that. You have silenced the critics of Christianity. And so this is what is so important, what he's telling us here now in these scriptures. And so if I want my wife, to have respect and honor for me as a Christian, then it's the most important thing I can do is live as though I belong to God. Same thing's true of my son. Same thing's true of my grandchildren. Same thing true of my great-grandchildren. If they can't see it in me, then there's no use me telling them what they ought to be. And so same thing's true for you. Same thing's true for me. I think the first bell's done rung. But we'll pick up on this tonight because I want you to see how important it is for me and you to live as though we're aliens in a darkened world. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for your divine word that is without error, thanking you that you're an unchanging God, thanking you that you called us out of darkness into light by your glorious grace and made us a child of God, and one day we'll spend eternity rejoicing and praising who you are. Lord, I pray for the next service to follow that you'll bless Brother Nate. Speak through him. May the